A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Big Sam's big gamble doesn't pay off and neither does Sergio's stunner. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Monday the 10th of May. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Didn't quite work, did it?
Big Sam's big gams.
Yeah. It worked.
Big old gams.
Did you see, was it UKIP or one of those sorts of blokes who had Gammons for mayor?
Yeah, that was his actual surname.
For mayor, yeah.
Peter nice. Gammons, was it, running for mayor? Didn't get in.
I like it. How did Binfish get in?
He came last, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's probably a good thing.
Didn't somebody figure out that Lawrence Fox got fewer votes than Billy... Piper got for her first single? Like, you don't vote for singles, but you buy them.
You vote with your money.
You vote
in
with
a way,
your money.
It's more possibly. of a vote, isn't it? Mm. Was that her song?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Was so slick. If only I hadn't pointed it out.
There you go.
I just you can't expect me to know stuff like that. Although I did just listen to her Desert Island Discs, so that's more kind
she
of.
She didn't mention him, my hair.
Yeah,
you wouldn't, would you?
It was really funny, Lauren Laverne. I feel like they talked about it and were like, oh, this is just fan fiction from me. But what I think I can imagine happened was that she was like, let's talk about it. And then if you don't want that in, we can cut it. Because there's a really she does a really quick and quite nervous. And then you were married to Lawrence Fox and you had 2 kids and also you have another partner. And anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, he lost his deposit. That's a shame, isn't it? Oh, Foxy
He got a
face.
Lot of second votes, though. So
did he?
Yeah.
Good God.
It's because I think people
this
didn't...
This is not over.
People didn't... I didn't realise you had to do a second vote. Anyway, this is a bit niche, isn't it?
Very London.
Sorry, America.
And everywhere else in the country.
Yeah, Binface, anyway. He'll be back. He's the leader we need in our times, right? Just like Big Sam isn't. His side relegated... But hey, guys, let's be clear here. Big Sam has never been relegated with a Premier League team that he's managed since the start of the season.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we were always referring to, really, wasn't it?
Yeah. So it doesn't, strictly speaking, count.
No. Even Willian scored.
How do you feel about that?
Delighted, in a way.
How does the manager feel about that?
Just indifferent, I would imagine. I don't know if he would quite feel vindicated in spending 200 grand a week on Willian for one free kick against an already relegated team when your season means nothing.
Yeah, it wasn't even the relegated goal, was it? Because Nicola Pepe scored that.
Exactly.
So it was put them 2-1 and then it was just a 3-1.
Arsenal, the very definition of a flat track bully at the moment. They just seem to sort of be...
In that game. this has been a dreadful season as an Arsenal fan. And, you know, it's not really about West Brom as well. I feel sorry for them. But it's like, I feel like relegating Sam Allardyce is a trophy, is it? Maybe the club shop should start selling necklaces of his head to sort of wear it like a scalp. Yeah. It's all we've got.
Like a little totem-y thing.
Yeah.
Mm.
Would it look as though you'd cut the head off, or would it just be more like a sort of a Frankenstein's monster character?
That would really be more for the design team. I'm more of an ideas guy. Yeah. I don't really think in quite such a visual way. But yeah. I think
round things are quite hard to sort of be brooches or necklaces. You'd have to chop the back of his head off, I'm afraid. So that would be pretty horrific, I would argue. Yeah. You'd have to mount it on something.
That could work. Yeah. Actually, maybe that's easier. Yeah, it's sort of a taxidermy Big Sam.
There we go.
Right, so you're already trying to bring him in some extra lucrative earnings from...
Well, we're missing out on the Europa League money, so...
Oh, sorry.
It has been a weird season for West Brom. I know, and we talk about Big Sam Muscular, but he just didn't get as many points on the board that you would expect from a new manager bounce, whoever it might
have been. Well, they never had the bounce, did they?
No, they never really got it, did they?
But didn't get very many points at all, actually, Pete. West Brom had 7 points from 13 under Slaven Bilic. Of course, that was all quite odd anyway, wasn't it? The way that they replaced him at that stage in the season. But
especially because they hadn't backed him financially at all.
Yeah, it was
they replaced him when things went the way they were always going to.
Yeah.
When you don't back your manager, and who have you got to come on to shore up the goal scoring? Hal Robson-Cano, brilliant.
It's quite,
let the man rest.
It's quite anxiety provoking anyway if you're bringing in a guy at that stage of the season, a relegation specialist.
Yeah, it's almost an admission of defeat, isn't it?
Yeah.
He just didn't get them moving quickly enough. And that's where the problems have come. Obviously, you know, they had that amazing result against Chelsea, and that sort of, you know, that if that had happened earlier, it would have been the spark. But you know, Ian Dark and Martin Keown were talking about how he'd actually done a pretty good job. He'd improved the team. Got
5 points in Allardyce's first 10 games.
Exactly.
5 points from 10.
Exactly.
Now, I'm no mathematician, but that doesn't seem like a big proportion.
Maitland-Niles has improved the side, and he couldn't play against Arsenal, which was hilarious.
You hope to think there's some 4D chess going on there. And that was deliberate, but I imagine it's very much not
so
the case.
So weird, yeah. It was very inevitable. Almost like weeks into the season, it just seemed like they were a championship side.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Pereira's a very good player, clearly. But part of the problem is he's got a lot of loan players in there and stuff. So going down to kind of mount a challenge to get straight back up, which they could well do. We've seen them do it before. I know they were, you know, the last time they were in the Premier League, they actually stuck around for quite a while. They'll be disappointed not to have stayed up this time. But like, you know, they're never going to be away for that long, are they? They're pretty good at you know, rebuilding and coming back up.
It's a Notts County.
Well, but West Brom are a bit different, aren't they? I mean, is it five times they've been promoted, something like that? So it's part of the kind of the skill set of the club is to know how to rebuild and go again. So I don't think this will be particularly devastating for them in the long term. But there is this problem, I suppose, with so many loan players coming in at promoted clubs that then if they do well, they move on in the next season. And if they go down, they have to completely rebuild the squad again. So it's frustrating, I'm sure. And also for any club that have come up and then been relegated again in this fanless season, is going to be so weird. A sort of particularly ghostly Premier League experience.
Yeah, did it even really happen?
Exactly.
One hand clapping.
Yeah, completely.
Tree falling in the woods, that sort of stuff.
Mm.
Is that the phrase?
Yes.
If a tree falls in the woods...
I was getting confused about bears shitting in the woods.
Does it make a sound? And no, it doesn't.
Mm.
There is a definitive answer on that. It doesn't make a sound because the sound is only is interpreted by our brains.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim. Sound correspondent.
There you go.
And now, can you solve Nicola Pepe?
No, I can't.
I'm not sure his skills reach that far. In the post-match...
Sometimes they do, though, Kate. Sometimes they do.
Sometimes they do. In Europa League, they do, Kate. 25, 70 million. Yeah, Let's have a bit more of that, shall we? Against teams that aren't West Brom.
He can score a lovely goal when it doesn't matter at all. Sam Allardyce asked afterwards, of course, Pete, if he was going to stay. If I were a West Brom fan, we might feel a bit irritated that it's all feels like it's all kind of a bit about him. Mm. Do they want him to stay?
Well, that's all anybody talks about, and I guess we led with it as well, the big Sam head and stuff.
I know, but we think it's
always
funny.
It's always the way it's going to be. He's kind of a manager that everyone talks about because of his time one match for England, etc., etc. He's obviously slightly box office. He's slightly something to talk about. He's slightly what old men think that, you know, remember when Keys and Gray, more on them later, no doubt, they mentioned the fact that he could have come in as a defensive coach for Pep Guardiola.
Yeah.
Like stuff like that.
He gets
mentioned as kind of one of those kind of like good old footballing boys, defensive coaches.
Proper
but he hasn't managed it this time. Oh dear. He hasn't managed it this time, and he might not manage it again because he's cracking on a bit.
He's still a nominee from April Manager of the Month, though, guys.
Well, no one can take that away from him.
Steve Bruce is going to win mayor.
Yeah,
so.
Probably will. But I think, yeah, it'd be interesting to see if he stays, because I can imagine that he would want to put this right. You know, he won't want that relegation on his CV.
Mm. It'd still be
like
on
Joey
a CV.
well, that's the thing about CVs is you can just as time goes on, you can just trim
just
out the stuff.
Like swimming, cycling.
Yeah.
My being Latin never.
Right. Yeah, got relegated with Notts County. You know what? I'm just going to not put that in. I'm going to leave that forever. But yeah, so I'd be interested to see if actually he will want to kind of try and make that relegation a footnote, because, all right, I did get relegated, but I brought them back up at the first time of asking. Mm. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, and he can always head back over to Doha and do bits with Keys and Gray. Although they've been having a bit of a complicated one this week, haven't they?
Yeah, I think it was Richard Keys was caught on a hot mic that he was supposed to be speaking into, talking about.
So not caught exactly.
This is an old thing.
He assumed that social media extended to WhatsApping his family.
No,
it's Andy Gray,
isn't it?
It was on their podcast.
Andy Gray was asking Richard Keys about the social media blackout. Hmm. And he was saying, you know, I don't really understand technology. Does that mean that I can't message my family? And it's like, no, Andy, you can use WhatsApp to communicate with your own family. It's like, so if I break my leg, can I call an ambulance? Yes, Andy, you can. Quite sweet in its own way.
So West Brom go down. Manchester City, Mr. Charles, I mean, doesn't really matter in the grand scheme. Possibly, we'll see. But not for their title chances. Clearly, Manchester City are going to win. But they didn't manage it this weekend because they lost to Chelsea 2-1. They should really have put this one to bed. But unfortunately, they had a penalty. That Sergio Aguero, he tried to get creative, didn't he?
Yeah,
and
he did,
ultimately, if the goalkeeper is catching your penalty attempt just with his left hand in a quite relaxed way, then you probably haven't succeeded.
If he can sit down, stand up again, and then catch it with one hand, you've not done it properly.
He's very tall and very quick and very able, that goalkeeper. And you don't, you know, even if he did lie down and he did that, he could probably get back up again, to be quite frank.
Part of me thinks that he was still annoyed at Raheem Sterling finishing off that chance for him, and he wanted to do something memorable and like show, I'm still the big dog.
He was really annoyed, but he didn't look interested in controlling that ball at
any point.
You can't really blame him. But I think Chelsea have got a certain amount of psychology over Man City at the moment. They seem to be up for the battle, and certainly seem to be up for the counter attack. But Man City played a weird team. I don't know what that was all about, and I'm not looking forward to the Champions League final if that was what it was going to be. It's going to be horrible final.
Part of me wonders, has Pep Guardiola sacrificed this game with deliberately mad tactics as a smokescreen
to hide whatever
deliberately mad tactics he's going to use in the Champions League final?
Yeah.
Just too cool, you know. It's two wins over him recently, isn't it? And like, there's that famous incident of them being in at their time in Germany where they're in a restaurant and apparently they went around the restaurant borrowing everyone else's salt and pepper shakers.
Is that
to use
true?
I don't know
because
if it's
that
true,
sounds like
but
such the perfect thing to make up, doesn't
print
it?
Print the legend here, and assume that did happen. And I love that. Such nerds, but nerds you couldn't even bully because they wouldn't notice.
No,
because they're just too. They've too. Too busy. There's too much
too
stuff to
too
work
busy
out.
Thinking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Football. I don't know. Do we actually think that this has any impact on the Champions League final? I would say it doesn't.
I think we'll see Timo Werner offside at some point. Or janking it wide. I can imagine Thiago Silva's wife having a few things to say about it.
Yeah. He has got the haunted look that only a Chelsea striker can have, isn't it? Like the Fernando Torres, Shevchenko look. It's a lonely place.
It's horrible, isn't it, Chelsea?
And actually, he's having, you know, I think Werner's having perhaps a slightly better season than some people are giving him credit for. Because he does work hard and he does... His game is about more than goals. But yeah, I don't know. I didn't expect him to look so sad.
Perhaps it's because people keep hammering him.
Probably that.
And it's a cruel world. On the penalty, by the way, Sergio Aguero issued an earnest apology on Twitter, which I actually find quite upsetting. I would like to apologise to my teammates, staff and supporters for missing the penalty. It was a bad decision and I take full responsibility.
The wording is also like he's apologising to his staff. Like, I just really want to say sorry to my cleaner.
Anyway, I mean, the man scored them the winning goal in the 2012 Premier League race.
He can't come out and say that, though, can he? Yeah. Like, imagine after the game. What more do you want? Remember that goal against QPR? That was ages ago, Sergio. What have you done for me lately?
In English, he said, I take full responsibility. But in Spanish, he just said, I take responsibility. Not as annoyed about it in Spanish, it seems.
Yeah. But is it
almost that a clue to where he's off next?
Yes, exactly.
Detective Campbell strikes again. But is it not because full responsibility is just, you know, in the copy and paste wording of these apologies, the responsibility is always full, isn't it?
Yeah.
In English.
Agree.
The full English.
I thought it would be amazing if you said, I take partial responsibility. But must give some credit to Benjamin Mendy, who did save my penalty.
He did not. Is that a save? It was just like...
He could have span it on his finger.
Yeah.
Like, he had so much time there. That would have been great.
Yeah.
That would have been the best save ever.
Imagine if he headed it out. That would be a real fuck you. There you go, penalty.
Oh, that would have been great. I just caught it on his head.
Also, Marcus Alonso's goal was pretty enjoyable too, wasn't it? Yeah. He just sort of... I don't know what bit of his body he really used, but he sort of just like, sorry, I've moved away from the microphone.
He's good for that.
Shunted it in with a little chip. I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
So 2-1, the final score to Chelsea. Another good tactical win for Thomas Tuchel's side. Pete's not looking forward to the Champions League final.
No, it's going to be rubbish. Euro's going to be rubbish. Everything's going to be rubbish forever. Okay. Everything's going to be rubbish forever. But don't worry, we can go out dancing soon.
Yeah.
There's been a lot.
And that'll be shit. You've forgotten how annoying. Your shoes are going to get all sticky.
Yeah.
Your legs are getting tired because you're 38 now.
Brilliant. It's going to be beautiful.
It's going to be beautiful. Last days of Rome.
They could still have won the league, City, because Manchester United were down against Villa, but they had another comeback to win 3-1. United have now, to keep the title race alive. It's exciting, isn't it, guys?
Nope.
much like the relegation battle, which will end this evening Burnley beat Fulham. So United have won 10 Premier League games after conceding first this season. It's a record, but is it good?
It's a funny one, that, isn't it? You want your team to be able to do it, but obviously you don't want them to go behind so much in the first place. You wonder, is he a bit of a field fraud over there? It's funny with Man United, isn't it? Because they, you know, obviously, they are deservedly in second, but they are quite significantly in second. And you look at them and you think, is this a team that's going to put a title race together, or are they more likely to be overtaken by someone else improving? It's really hard to say.
Well, it just seemed that the people just didn't want those Champions League spots. And to be honest, certainly below that, nobody wants to sort of sneak into the Europa League spots either. So you do sort of think there's not a lot of challenges for their crown. But, you know, all credit to Solskjaer. He's put together a side that seems to really want that second space.
Yeah, and also sacking him now would be mad, which isn't...
It would be fun.
We've not really thought it would be hilarious, but it's not... It's, you know, the spectre of him losing his job has not been around for quite some time, and full credit to him for seeing that off, because, you know, I don't think there's another manager in football that has had to deal with so much of that.
Do you think that them upstairs, they simply had to keep hold of him because it was just approved once again that they are useless at this?
Do you think they even know who he is, Pete?
No, good point, yeah.
It's probably just that, the manager. That bloke, the manager's.
Yeah.
He says cups in a funny way.
He said when Harry Maguire got injured, he said that, because he's had an incredible run, 71 games played.
Yeah, isn't it like every available Premier League minute or something?
It's brilliant.
Yeah,
lovely. But he said I don't know what's wrong with him. I'm not a doctor.
That's good.
He's like, but if I'm thinking
I can't
of him,
do everything around here.
I'm thinking, but yeah, if we had a club doctor, I could ask him, but we don't. No, but if he was a doctor, he'd be like Doogie Howser, wouldn't he? He'd be like a young doctor who's like pretending to be a proper doctor.
It's mad that that was ever a show. If you're not familiar with Doogie Howser, it was about a child that was a doctor. Mm. And that really was the entire premise.
Was he a qualified doctor? Was he just kind of vibing it out?
Well, he was in a hospital, wasn't he? Yeah. So, I mean, maybe he was a fraud. Maybe that was in the later series. It was just, oh no, this isn't a doctor. This is a child.
Yeah. Is this the Jim Campbell key to life that you just think everyone's a fraud?
Everyone's a fraud, or a genius. That's just being a modern football fan, Kate. Get on board.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. The modern football fan upstairs that Pete already mentioned may be starting to. Well, here's the question. Manchester United had a sponsor withdrawing.
Yeah.
So they were supposed to be replacing Aeon on the training kit. It was a deal worth about £200 million over 10 years. I don't know if that's a lot. Sounds a lot to me. The Hutt Group. But they had concerns about supporters' plans to boycott the club's commercial partners in protest at the Glazers' ownership. Now, so this was due to start, I think, on the 1st of July. But now, which means that probably United aren't going to have the chance to scrabble to get a replacement one that will start at the same time. So this is perhaps the first time that we've seen something that would actually really affect the commercial arms of the football club. And for all of the things that we've started to see with, you know, Chelsea talking about having a supporter's voice on their board or whatever, being allowed to take minutes of the meetings, whatever it is. This is actually an example potentially of something that could start to hurt these clubs that try to join the European Super League. So it seems like an interesting moment.
I think for companies, kind of, you know, get on board, enjoy a certain amount of fan pressure to get rid, and then enjoy the PR wave. So it's a bit of a win-win for them, and they'd have to spend 100 million or whatever. Yeah. But like, I think it's a very good example of voting with feet and targeting advertisers. Always the way to get stuff done, because these are the pocketbooks are where people will notice things going awry.
But it's a bit surprising, really. I mean, maybe I'm naive, but it's £200 million is a lot of money, even if it is spread over quite a long time. And, I mean, I'm surprised that this fan group, and huge, huge credit to them, have managed to pull off such a big thing so quickly. And that gives me the sense that there is a bit of a storm coming. You know, that if someone is prepared to pull out of a deal that big, will this have a ripple effect everywhere else for those other clubs? I, for one, will not be visiting Rwanda, so I feel like I'm doing my bit on an Arsenal sense. But I wonder if there are more of these to come, because it's going to make other sponsors get nervy, and that's really interesting.
Mm.
I think, though, the Hutt Group is based in Manchester,
yeah,
so there is that additional element of wanting to not alienate their local...
But that now becomes part of the Manchester United story, does it not?
Yeah, I guess so. Mm. But I mean, even still, like, as a brand, can you really argue with Manchester United even at this point?
I don't know, but you want authenticity, don't you? If you're a brand, you want the association with these clubs, with these institutions, because you want the kind of authentic kind of relationship the fans have with them. So if that gets compromised and you get one another sponsor that is based in the same city doing that, do you start to wonder if it reflects badly on you? I don't know, but it's
even if you are a makeup reseller based in Manchester Airport, inexplicably.
Well, yeah, but when was the last time that Manchester United were authentic?
Well, yeah, I mean, good question.
That devil wine they had.
Yeah, oh, that was great.
Drank a few bottles of that.
A legend.
What is it? Is there anything more ludicrous than the pot noodle one? What else do they have?
They've got loads. Yeah. There's about 40 of them. Mm. Absolutely nuts.
No, they are the blueprint for any modern football club making money out of literally everything.
Like medical equipment, things like that. There's a medical equipment, like a body scanner company, I think, has a deal with them.
Cool. But even still, they're sort of proof that you can't really make money out of. I mean, obviously, the Glazer family are making a lot of money out of Manchester United, but that's more about like leveraging the amount of money they put into the club or didn't put into the club. From what I was reading some Kieran Maguire thing earlier today, and you know, they don't actually get very big dividends, so in fact it's not really, as we know, it's not really a great business proposition to buy into Manchester United. It's only good from a PR perspective, and if you've got money to burn, and if the PR turns sour, then hey, it doesn't matter anymore, does it?
That's why we're constantly disappointed by businessmen and women just underwhelming when it comes to investing in clubs, because you can't, because the wages and the fees have just got to such a point that I don't know why any sensible business person would approach a football club to purchase it.
Although if you...
they often don't.
No, no. But it's the crazy ones. Yeah.
If you do want an official, if you want to sleep on an official Manchester United pillow, though, they do have
Harry Maguire available. He's
official
massive.
Global mattress and pillow partner of Manchester United. Although sleep is really good and important for footballers, so you know who are we to laugh? All right, let's get to a break, guys.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week at Sukarnov.
Jim recently joined Luke on the Luke and Pete Show to discuss the do's and don'ts of riding roller coasters.
So why are we talking about him today?
We're talking about him because he once killed a goose with his face on a roller coaster.
And over at Self Care Club, Lauren and Nicole are talking about taking care of yourself while supporting others for Mental Health Awareness Week.
I also think that this Mental Health Awareness Week is beautifully timed because we are slowly coming out of lockdown. Mm. Everyone is feeling a little bit all over the place.
Yeah.
Where should I be? What do I want? What do I not want? All those questions.
Yeah.
So
it's an unsettled feeling, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
So I think the timing of this week is absolutely imperative.
All that and a whole lot more at Sukarnov.
I'm bored watching Newcastle.
Huh.
Oh.
Oh, sorry to hear that. Welcome back to the Football Ramble with me, Pete, and Jim in your ears. Now let's see how we got on in Betway's Forward to Score this weekend. Not very well. Entries to Betway's Forward to Score is free. Each week, pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game, of course. Further T's and C's apply. And that is exactly what we did. We started off with game one, Wolves against Brighton. I picked Danny Welbeck. After much changing and thinking and questioning and consulting of crystal balls, but ultimately the crystal ball did not let me know that it would be Lewis Dunk who scored first in that one. Aston Villa against Manchester United. Pete picks Edinson Cavani. It was Bertrand Traore who got the first goal in that one. West Ham v Everton. Jim remotely picked Richarlison. Decent idea. Dominic Calvert-Lewin was the answer. Yeah. Arsenal West Brom Sunday night. Luke picked Mateus Pereira. He did score a beauty, but the answer was Emile Smith Rowe. 0-4. It's a big one. We'll be back with another round of Betway's Forward to Score on the preview show this Friday. Now, it's time for some emails, guys. And as I understand it, we've got a new jingle.
That is a high bar. That is a high bar to leap over for anybody coming at the King with that one. That is smashing that.
Mind blown.
Bloody great stuff.
We should say who sent it in, probably. Mm-hmm. David Rosing Show. Oh, actually, I thought it might be a show jingle, but I think Show? I think that's his surname, maybe. Okay. Anyway, David, thanks David. So much. Sorry, I got your name wrong.
Smashing stuff. We got an email from Christopher Bannister. Hey, TB, as a former child resident of Stockport, I can tell you that we never went to the Hat Museum on school trips. Admittedly, this may be down to the fact that I'm 13 years older than Phil Fordon and the Hat Works only opened after I'd left primary school. Well, we solved that issue, haven't we? Places we did go, though.
Oh.
Stockport Air Raid Shelters, Reddish Vale, Country Park, Quarry Bank Mill, Jodrell Bank, the Museum of Science and Industry, and the Manchester Museum. All absolutely brilliant locations to go to from 1991 to 1998. But if pushed, I'd say Jodrell Bank was my favourite. Thank you for that, Christopher Bannister.
Yeah, there's a cracking owl sanctuary around there that you might like as well. Brett has also been in touch. Just Brett, like Pele or Madonna. I don't know.
Like the Concords, Brett.
Yeah, that's Brit, I suppose, isn't it? But
he might write it like normal, mightn't
he? That's a good point. Good point.
Thanks for writing in, Flight of the Concords, Brett. That's so cool. I didn't realise he was a listener.
I know.
I think he did the jingle, didn't he?
Yeah, if you are Flight of the Concords, get in touch with the jingle. So on the talk of rock, paper, scissors and Peter's interesting tactics, Neil Ruddock represented China at the Rock, Paper, Scissors World Championships in 2013.
No, he didn't.
Well, the context is that it was for James May's Man Lab show. So that's there's a lot going on there. Mm. Why is Neil Ruddock there at all? Why is he representing China? If anyone's got any, you know...
Not a clue.
So it's not a real thing, is it? It's a thing for a show.
It's still a thing for a show, though, isn't it?
He did still have to learn rock,
paper. It's still more than nothing.
Razor Ruddock, because it's a scissors... Yeah.
Yeah, rock, paper, razors.
Yeah.
By the way, this Jodrell Bank, did you know about it? I've been looking it up. It's not a bank. It's a radio. It's a steerable radio telescope.
Did you actually think it was a bank that you would go into and get money out?
Guys.
Come on.
These.
You're better than that.
These Stockport
You went to Peter
attractions.
House. No, that's a man's one, isn't it? It's Peter House Mill?
No, they've all got girls in now.
Ah.
Yeah. I think there were actually like riots when they said that they were going to introduce girls to my college at university.
Riots.
And the boys hung up a lady cyclist, like a dead, like a, not a real one, but like a.
It's a bit extreme, isn't it? Yeah. For like a Redbrick University?
Like a mannequin of a woman being
a
like, not in our name.
Not in our name.
These women.
Oh, the people that run the country.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, why would visiting a bank be so ludicrous, Pete? Banks are...
Boring.
Well, he's a child.
You'd go...
Can't really do anything in
get
there.
Get your hand caught in the vault.
Yeah, but Mr. Banks takes the kids to work at some point, doesn't he, in Mary Poppins? They enjoy that. That looks exciting. Bank of England probably does tours. You can go and see gold bars.
Mm. Okay, fair. I'm converted. Right.
Yeah.
Let's all go to a bank.
It wasn't a mad thing to think. Fine, Kate. Fine.
Anyway, Jodrell Bank's not a bank. So don't turn up there thinking it's a bank. You'll be really disappointed. Don't look at me like you want to do this. This is my favourite bit of the whole show. All right. Yeah. Thank you so much for getting in touch with the show. And thanks for the... Because it's a new jingle. Let's do it.
Emails. Yeah, they're reading out your emails. Cause they were sent in to show at footballramble.com, where all the best banter originates from, including stuff about Sven.
Beautiful.
Smooth.
Does that take you back to your time on?
In hot chocolate, yes.
Now, there was a title decided over the weekend. Chelsea women won the Women's Super League. They needed a win on the final day, Emma Hayes' side. And, I mean, it was a bit of a damp squib in the end because Melanie Leopold scored within 68 seconds in their 5-0 win against Reading. Honourable mention as well for England's record appearance holder. That's the way you'd phrase it. Farrah Williams, she captained the side. So Reading, she captained Reading in her final game before retiring. But what it all means is that Chelsea are on for the quadruple. Actually, two out of four they've now won, so League Cup and the league title. Though I did hear someone, a pundit of some sort, suggesting that the Community Shield counted and it actually could be a quintuple.
Very, very Jose.
If you win everything else, it counts, right? Sure.
Right. You can't, but it's not a, whatever, three. I think, it's not a part of a three.
I think next season people have to go, look, you've either got to mark Kerr or Kirby. You can't do both, but you should do at least one, all right? you certainly can't opt out and do none of them, because they just seem to finish all of the time. They've got a great relationship.
52 goals between them in all competitions. People
that
are calling
loopy
them...
one they did at the weekend was like, wow, that was so loopy. I mean, the defender should have had it, but, you know. Again, mark one of them.
Yeah.
Choose one. You either cut out the pass or you cut out the goal. Just choose one, mark them.
Do you think they might have been a bit demoralised by that stage?
Yeah, probably.
At that point. Yeah. Emma Hayes has got some really interesting methods, hasn't she, to get her team going, which I'm a big fan of. Apparently she's been showing them videos of geese flying in formation demonstrate how they support each other and how, most importantly, why you fly further together.
Right.
I love that.
Okay.
Oh, I do like that. That's like the ramble.
Yeah. I grew up under a goose flight path as well. Yeah. So
is it very loud?
Yeah, it's amazing. Geese flying above you, just honking away, is the funniest thing in the world. Because you know they're doing that for thousands of miles. It's just chaos in the sky. You hear it coming from ages away.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
Is that murmuration? Is that what that is? Or is that other
Isn't
kinds
that
of birds?
When swallows do that crazy
kind of
stuff.
Oh, is that specific
stuff
swallows?
Where they all kind of fly in a formation.
I mean, we talk about the geese being really intelligent, but like the goslings do bond with the first thing they see, the first thing that moves in front of them. So like they do, so it could be anything.
Oh no.
I don't think they're that clever.
That sounds like it could
bad
be.
Bad plan.
Really bad news.
Never trust
a
goose.
Have you got some goslings?
Yeah, they saw some goslings at the weekend and said albums. Beautiful.
I wondered what was tweeting
beautiful
under the
guys.
Desk. There. Yeah, Emma Hayes has been absolutely, I mean, she's great value. And one of the things that's really enjoyable to see is just her becoming part of the mainstream kind of football conversation.
Yeah.
She's obviously got a great attitude to well, not just like geese formations, but, you know, the way she presents herself,
she
the way she'll
like
talk about stuff. She's a bloody...
She's like a bloody human.
She's a bloody human. So yeah, to come in the quintuple. The Women's FA Cup tie. It's the last 16 that they're playing Everton. That's in 11 days' time. They've also got the Champions League final against Barcelona next Sunday. Apparently they get Tuesday off, but not today. So, you know, good to pick up the odd day off, and probably they're the favourites for that final. So exciting stuff for Emma Hayes. She looks like she's enjoying herself. It's what we like to see. Manchester City finished 2 points behind them in the end after winning at West Ham. Bristol go down to the Championship. All right, Peter, we need to talk about Newcastle having
Yay.
A brilliant performance. We've put it off as long as we can, but no longer. Leicester 2, Newcastle 4, and it at one point looked as though it was going to be more.
It was very bizarre, wasn't it? It was very, very strange. I've sort of said, like, if you're kind of off your game and Newcastle have a striker on the field, there's a very good chance that Newcastle might get a result. But if you fancy it against Newcastle, if you fancy going and playing a bit of football, you invariably win the match. But I don't know where that fitted in the equation. I think it's just very... I know, like, he had... Obviously, Evans, I think, got injured in the warm-up, but that really kind of... It was a real psychological blow, it seemed, to the whole side.
Yeah.
And like, Big Sam, obviously, characterised by his team... having the fortitude in the old noggins to get past opponents, but they just seem to make so many mistakes. I know they're tired, I know it's the end of the season, but wow. That was brilliant.
Yeah. Did you say Big Sam?
Big Sam, yeah.
Sorry, not Big Sam, sorry. Big Brendy. Big Brother Brendy. Big Brother Brendy.
Two men who are not
for
often
a moment,
confused.
Yeah. No. I mean, it was a great performance from Newcastle, obviously. Nice to see young Joe Willock doing well as well. But from a Leicester perspective, their run is a nightmare now.
Yeah,
they've got Man United,
stinkers.
Chelsea and Spurs on the last day, who might still have stuff riding on it as well. So it's like, they have fucked it again, haven't they?
Oh, steady.
They're going to drop out.
We don't.
Liverpool are just going to pop in, aren't they, guys?
Hello. Is.
Yeah, Liverpool.
Season not a failure.
West Ham must be fuming with themselves for not you know, getting a result against Everton, because these were such vital drop points by Leicester. But yeah, you do just worry for them. I mean... After a performance like that, you would think it seems unlikely they'd lose all of those games, but not impossible.
Yeah, it does look as though it's pretty shaky. And there's, well, you know, it's nice that there's something to play for. Let's talk. Can we talk a bit more about Newcastle?
Well, look, in recent memory, for me, they've leathered like Spurs, Fulham, Chelsea, sort of last couple of games of the season. When the pressure's off, Newcastle can play a bit of football, I think even Steve Bruce was surprised to what happened.
Does it make you think how different the season might have been if Alan St. Maximin hadn't been out for all of those games?
I don't think he was out for as many games as they underperformed for, but they underperformed for a lot longer. They've got a good counter. They've got players who can counter attack. I think Newcastle should play like that, a bit of fucking hell for leather, kind of let our excellent goalkeeper deal with everything that's fired at him, and just go for it instead of trying to get cute, trying to get clever. That's above Steve Bruce's kind of abilities. So just try and do a Keegan. absolutely go for it and just like let's sort of farm out Joe Linton to a substitute role just to kind of mess things up about 10 minutes from the end and let's play a bit of football. Let's just have some fun.
Did you enjoy the game?
Yes, I did. It was just a nice little kind of like a dessert wine at the end of a shite season.
Yeah. I know the feeling.
Yeah, really enjoyable couple of goals from Callum Wilson. I like his first one, how he just carried the ball past Schmeichel. That was really nicely put together. Although Schmeichel was having a bit of a terrible time, wasn't he? Because because Leicester's high line was just so high that it wasn't really a line.
And if you're going to play a high line, don't mess up so much in your back.
Yeah, exactly. They just looked as though they'd gone astray, to be honest. All right. So, yeah, it looks like it's happening again for Leicester. Is that what you think, guys? Do you think Leicester are fucked now? They're not going to...
It's a terrible running.
I think the running's going to make it a bit too much. I think there's going to be some twists between now and then. Although, they are still 5 points ahead of West Ham. So it's not impossible. They just really, really need to dig in and get some good results. Who knows? I just fear for them.
All right, exciting stuff still to come in the race for Champions League football. Unfortunately, we don't have time to do the Leeds win against Spurs.
Can we talk about the Eric Lamela Rabona, though?
You can mention it if you want.
Yeah, I've done it now.
It was a bit embarrassing. I found it a bit of a tough watch, to be honest. Hugo Lloris making big saves, and I don't want to talk about the...
We'll talk about it after.
Yeah,
after
that's
the show. Yeah?
That's the way it goes. Lloris gesturing with disbelief after Leeds third, and the whole of the Spurs defence just wandering about the pitch like a bunch of lazy. Anyway, it's been a tough season, hasn't it? And it's been an even tougher season in the Football League because, my God, they play a lot of games. But we have some clarity, perhaps, pending certain court cases and discussions about Derby in the Championship. They look to have stayed up after this. I mean, it was incredible scenes, really, at Pride Park, this 3-3 draw with Sheffield Wednesday, who themselves were relegated by that.
Chances are this isn't the end of the story, and certainly teams like Wycombe Wanderers, obviously quite upset about the situation, and their owner said that we're going to wait and see what happens, because obviously there may be a points deduction next season, or there is going to be a points deduction next season because of spending rules possibly potentially being broken.
This is for Derby County.
And then, but then they're saying, well, this should really apply this season. So
yeah, it does
this
seem unfair. It seems weird that
they'd be deducted at the start of next season instead of this season. So it's going to be interesting. It's been a strange old season, and it may not be the end of the story. But Wayne Rooney enjoyed Sister Act 2, turns out.
Yeah,
before the match.
I mean, he famously watched Sister Act before the Champions League final in 2008. So he's a big fan of the series.
Well, yeah, not enough to watch the second one in any sort of time frame, it seems.
Unless he just watches both of them a lot.
Yeah. Wait, I thought he just liked two. I thought he considered two to be the best one. Because didn't he tweet out, here we go, in 2011, my top three films, Saving Private Ryan, Man on Fire, Sister Act 2.
I imagine he's at least seen Sister Act, though.
Yeah.
So,
what was so good about Sister Act? Is it a bit like Mamma Mia? Like they made it a second one because it was so bloody popular. I mean, that's how you make any film, I guess, if it's so bloody popular.
I assume so, yeah. It's Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. I get that mix up with Nuns on the Run, to be honest.
Yeah, I see how that could happen. It's Robbie Coltrane pretending to be a nun, Kate.
Right, I feel like that's one that I'm never going to get to.
No, don't worry about it. You're not going to need it.
Yeah, your childhood was just Spurs and violin, wasn't it?
As we know. And chess.
And chess.
Yeah, so Derby were trailing 1-0 going into half-time, took a quick lead 2-1, but in the end didn't need to win, got the 3-3 draw after Cardiff equalised. So, yes, they stay in the division for now. Sheffield Wednesday, of course, they've already had... well, initially it was supposed to be a 12-point deduction, and then on appeal it went to a 6-point deduction at the start of the season. They broke spending rules last season. They seem to have all sorts going on, which we perhaps will talk about at a later date. But just in brief summary, they sold Hillsborough to their owner for £60 million to avoid breaching championship profitability rules, but they still didn't manage to work their way around all of this.
Well, I think Chancery wants £160 million for the club. And he bought it for about 37 when they were in the championship. Now they're not in the championship. Now he wants 116 million. Like,
yeah, and just even with the ground,
even
come with
the,
it as well,
even like the ground, that's still a lot of profit.
Yeah,
a lot of profit.
I mean, on the pitch as well, they dropped 29 points from winning positions this season. It's just not—it's just not enough.
Lovely.
Oh God, I hope they're all right. Also, Rotherham—they've been relegated from the championship 3 times in the last 5 years. Bad luck, guys. Also in the championship, Ivan Toney broke Glenn Murray's record for most goals in a single season. He got...
He's having a lovely time.
31. He's such a great player. I used to, yeah, loved watching him at Peterborough. You could... Yeah, he always looked kind of streets ahead of all the other players. But anyway, Peterborough are going to be a championship side next season, so that'll be good to watch. Also promoted, Bolton Wanderers. They are into League One after being, would you believe this, 20th in February.
Brilliant.
That's amazing.
Good luck to them. That's so good.
Also, Cambridge United, back in the third tier, back in the big time. They are back there after, for the first time since 2002. Where's Houlihan celebrated? Did you see this?
He had a Guinness on the pitch, didn't he?
What a bloody...
He's tearing it up down there, though. It's great.
38-year-old Wes Houlihan.
I love it when a player does that.
Another player so enjoyable to watch at the Abbey Stadium. Yeah, he... Sunk a Guinness.
Yeah.
And what better way to celebrate?
In a glass vessel as well.
Yeah.
Don't endorse that.
I wondered about that.
Yeah. Not allowed. Naughty.
Yeah. He wasn't likely to sort of smash it over anyone's head, was he?
No, so he wasn't doing...
Perhaps stop being a knock.
Perhaps they trusted him.
Knock.
Yeah, you knock.
Sorry, guys.
You're going to write in.
Yeah. He shouldn't be drinking anything in view of the pitch.
He just...
I don't think.
He's just got his side promoted,
yeah,
Pete.
Well, yeah.
Where's your sense of fun and the joy of the world?
Are you still annoyed about Mike Ashley having that beer?
Yes. I found out that Mike Ashley used to live in my town.
Really?
Berkhamsted.
Did you drive him out?
The postman said that he posted his post.
Did it?
And he said he got in trouble for going too far onto his land. I was like, well, put your letterbox where it needs to be.
I love this.
You don't want people encroaching on people's land.
Bucolic life that you live. Chatting to the postman. Knocking about solving local mysteries.
Great stuff.
Is it quite swanky then?
Yes, yes. I think it's one of those places that you can sort of disappear. Like there's a lot of farmland around. There's a lot of very remote.
That's a sinister turn, didn't it?
Where you just disappear. But once people start, because I think he got served with a couple of writs over his divorce, and then it became quite public where he lived, and then he moved. His old Mike Ashley, so yeah.
I like the idea.
Just look for the house of the hounds on sale with a damaged fireplace, I suppose. Yeah.
I like the idea.
Never get the smell out.
Pete also has to go to live there, so he can be somewhere private, and all his fans don't constantly send his fan mail.
All my geese.
All your geese. What are you working with Emma Hayes' coaching team? Bit odd.
Certainly.
All right, guys. That we're coming to the end of today's show. A quick re-up for the Apple Pods review world of reviews. If you fancy doing something nice for us today, then it's easy. You don't actually even have to write a review. You can just do the 5 stars. Did you know that?
Yeah,
oh,
I did.
I only just found that out. I thought it was a lot more effort. It actually is. But yeah, leave us a review wherever you get your pods. It will just help other people find the show, which will be nice to have because we love to have you along with us. Thanks so much for all the good contributions today, by the way. A lovely new email jingle. And thanks to you guys for being such lovely company.
Cheers. See yous.
On tomorrow's show, it's Marcus, Fish and Pete again. We will see you there.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Hold up. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.